Blank Check with Griffin and David. Blank Check with Griffin and David. Don't know what to say or to expect. All you need to know is that the name of the show is Blank Check.
What a wonderful night for Blankies, Blankies, Blankies. Who will win? And the nominees are... Dun 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 dun. Little women trying to live their lives. Little women don't want to become wives. What kind of book deal will Joe get? Negotiate with Tracy Letts. It's a story about a little marriage being split up onto very different coasts. In L.A., she works on a big pilot, and in New York, he mopes. This portrait's on fire! The lady's on fire! Her dress is on fire! Literally and metaphorically, everything's on fire! Portrait of a lady on fire! And I think I'm gonna sit in this here chair and tell the camera all the things I've done. I'm not that happy in this retirement home. Oh, no, no, no. Yes, I'm an Irishman. Irishman killing Jimmy Hoffa made me sad. But the ring from Joe Pesci made me glad. And also I'm a Rocket Man. Rocket Man, Elton John, biopic's pretty good. But compared to Bohemian Rhapsody, it's like a fucking masterpiece. One glove, scissors, two, and the red jumpsuit, babe. One glove, it's about us. Jordan Peele's us, babe.
Oh my God.
All right. In Wong's farewell. The grandma's gonna die to make her happy. They settle on a lie. These are getting shorter and shorter.
Good though. These are fragments.
Yeah. Yeah.
People in the basement. Parasite. Gotta make that Ramdon. Parasite. That's James Brown's Out of Sight. Ooh, nothing really matters. Anyone can see. Nothing really matters. Nothing really matters but four keys. Toy Story 4 key.
Wow. Wow, I'm going to get evicted. They're going to kick me out.
Truly special.
That was incredible.
Thank you.
That was actually incredible.
Thank you.
I'm very proud of you.
Yes.
I worked on about eight
that
other ones.
That might be the best thing you've ever
done. It might
done.
Be. It
Not
might
on the
be.
Podcast, just total.
I've ever. Been practicing in the shower for a couple of weeks.
So what's in the cutting room floor?
What's on the cutting room floor? There are a few I just never cracked what the right song was. I never came up with the right lyrics. I would try out different things. Yeah. I never found a good Uncut Gems one. I never found a good Once Upon a Time in Hollywood one.
Tough to...
Yeah, now I'm trying to remember what was cut because I on the train right here, I was doing the official process of cutting things from the app.
Yeah,
both from the song list and from my nomination categories, the tough decisions. Yeah. But I decided those were the strongest ones. There were also, I will say this, many of those songs originally had multiple verses.
Of course.
That's
amazing. Yeah.
Two verses, a bridge, and then a reverse.
Some of them, I'm pretty low.
Yeah. I mean, I think, stop me if this sounds crazy.
Sure.
You could get in the booth, cut a little album.
You think cut a little album?
Cut a little LP.
I think
a mixtape. A mixtape.
You remember I was talking about
doing a Blank Check album. He wanted to do like when The Simpsons would release an album, you know, like he wanted that energy.
Well, and look, yesterday, at the time we're recording this, yesterday, rumor mill started hitting that Warner Brothers wants to hire Taron Egerton to do a Little Shop of Horrors. And a lot of Blankies online were like, fucking Griffin Newman erasure.
Yeah.
But and I was like, look, I can't really sing. And they were like, come on. And I was like, you know what? You're right. I'm going to prove them all wrong. So all I'm saying is, Ben, the second we finish recording this episode, CC Warner Brothers.
Sure.
Okay.
Courtesy of Warner Brothers Pictures.
Yeah, it's warner.brothers@example.com.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah, that's their email.
No, I meant it's always cut a record, send it in the mail.
Sure, sure. Right.
Lay this down on vinyl. Let's get a 7-inch going.
Right, right, right.
What a wonderful night for Blankies.
Welcome to Blank Check
2020.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. All right. That's enough. It's Hello. Just so sad that there's not a host this year. You could do it.
Well, it's but this is just the problem. No one wants anyone. The job. It's putting an arrow on your back, you know?
Oh, just yeah, because the woke police will come.
The woke police.
Destroy your life.
Because now the front row anymore. Is the cancel brigade. I know. They're ready.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we can say this now.
Yeah, let's say it.
The vetting process is so difficult. Because it's a job that no one wants.
No one.
Right? We tried to get way ahead of it this year. And like June or July, we had who we thought was the perfect host. And then Shane Gillis got himself in a little trouble.
Oh, he pushed too many boundaries.
He pushed too and many boundaries. We said Shane.
And he missed. And he missed. He missed.
At the end of the day, that's the problem. We said, Shane, you can push boundaries as long as you hit.
He pushed too many.
And he pushed a few too many. And he missed.
Will that ever not amuse us, even though it's just a tiny grammatical error from a racist?
I don't think so. I want to just also clarify, when we are obsessed with that and make that joke all the time, that's the thing we're obsessed with.
Yeah. The weird grammatical
error.
Is that
the metaphor doesn't track.
You don't push. You don't miss a boundary when you're pushing. Right. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah. Here's another correction I want to offer. Chris Kether does not like Shane Gillis.
Yeah, no shit, Shane.
He tried
literally
that.
Googled New York Times Chris Gethard Shane Gillis is what I advise you people.
Right. Arguably the number two reason he got fired. Show.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Okay. Now, Blanky Awards.
The Blanky Awards. And who's here to celebrate with us but officially entering the Five Timers Club?
I'm so excited, you guys.
Oh, that's a good point. Is this our fifth of these?
This is our fifth.
We should be locked in.
Fifth annual.
And here, a putting on like no other. Officially his Blank Check Five Timers bathrobe,
sure.
Yes. The co-chair of the Blankies Awards. Like, this is like introducing Don Hudson or Philip Burke to do the speech. Joe Reed, a.k.a. Reading Rainjoe. Oh my
God. I forgot about Reading Rainjoe.
It was my favorite.
Thanks, you guys. I'm so excited to be here. Yeah, Five Timers. I can finally, you know, show my face around the Richard Lawsons and Emily Yoshidas of the world without
it's a very
cowering
exclusive.
And shame.
I mean, Yoshida got herself in trouble moving to L.A.
Yeah.
So she might be catchable.
Yeah. That's the thing. For a while, it was like, OK, Yoshida's kind of embarrassing everyone else. She's starting to lap
people. She's lapping the field.
But now you're like, she might be like a once a year person for the next 3 years, if that.
She's going to stalk your.
She's going to Hollywood.
We got to do once a year, though.
A year, we're going to get her.
Mama?
Oh, you're
she's
saying
the
mama of Blankets. Yeah.
All right. No, with Ma. We should call her Ma in honor of 2019's Ma, which is all over my ballot. I don't know if you guys.
Yes. It's not on mine, but it's not far from some of mine. Yeah. I loved Ma.
This is what's weird.
Best surprise penis in a movie. Yeah. Did you guys see Ma?
No, there's a surprise penis.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fakey, but when she pulled that dick out of Luke Evans's towel, I did not expect
it. I'm sorry, this happens in the film Ma?
Yes.
Yeah.
It happens in the midst of her.
She's going to slice it with a.
What do you call it?
Scalpel. But it also is in the midst of a scene where it seems for a second like she's going to transfuse his blood with dog blood because men are dogs. And
Mom's a really chill movie.
And it seemed for a second and all I wanted was for that scene to play out.
Yeah.
And to see what would happen with Luke Evans with dog blood in him.
I gotta say, it's very weird because I didn't see Ma, as I just said, on air, but I'm looking at my notes app and suddenly every nominee I had written down is being replaced with Ma.
Ma. It's being transfused.
Magically, it's being transfused onto my list.
Welcome to the Blankies.
Yes.
We're here to discuss our favorite films and performances and other, you know, achievements of the year.
And let's just plug it right here.
In 2019.
Let's just plug it right here. We're right after this, back to back recording our best of the decade Blankies.
Flip on over to our Patreon feed.
Feb 11th.
Feb 11th, we will be dropping Best of the Decade, which was hard, by the way.
Really tough.
It was certain categories, especially. I was just like, how am I expected to be to narrow this down?
Like 30 to 40 people that fit in there. Anyway, we'll get to that.
But we'll get to that.
That's for the Patreon.
The only other disclaimer I want to offer is sometime between recording this episode and the next episode, the trailer for F9 is going to drop.
That's true.
And I will be commenting on it live.
Very excited about this.
Whether it's in this episode or next episode.
I think
episode.
We should do it in this episode, but we'll find out.
We'll see. It depends
we'll see
on when it goes.
We'll see what
because
it
the live stream is going to be a concert first.
Oh my God. Wow.
Who's there?
Luda.
Of course.
Sure.
I'm forgetting everyone else who's there, but I know Luda's
I'm sure Vin's going to sing
it too. Oh, I hope Vin sings. I hope Vin
voice like an angel.
He's
going
to sing like poor Tia Valare.
But
or
I was saying to you, this is going to be like the Doughboys episodes where Mitch is watching
a Patriots game. Yeah,
right. And for me, this is the only thing that like, I'm like, it has to be playing in mute in the background. Live stream starts officially 1 hour, 4 minutes.
As I mentioned off mic, the last time this situation happened, Griffin and I were doing a spelling bee, a movie spelling bee at Videology.
RIP.
And Griffin just made it very well known that we were going to be doing this while the Fast 8 trailer breaks. What was the thing? You included a fact from the Fast 8 trailer?
Yeah, anytime with you every, gave a clue, you would describe something from the Fast 8 trailer.
If someone
trailer.
Asked for a clue, they also got a description
they got
of something,
a description
that,
of
happened
something that happens. Yes.
Like and Vin Diesel and Charlize Theron kissing.
Right. We all
that trailer was better than that movie.
None of us had seen it yet, so we were all sort of trusting that you were being honest.
Right, which people thought I wasn't.
Right.
Because the trailer was crazy.
Yes, it was.
Okay, anyway, this is the fifth annual Blanky Awards in which we pick
our favorites of the year.
Our favorites of the year.
Oscar style.
Yes.
And we should dive right into it. Do we always start with supporting actors? I always forget how
we
do this.
Right? I mean, we're such awards nuts. It feels like the right thing to start with.
Yeah. Right.
And look, more and more, I'm going to be going from the hip this year.
Uh-oh.
Before, you've always been very prepared for this.
But as much as you joke, and yes, I'm never prepared for this, in most years, I do more of a, like, what you guys do, I think, or tend to do, I know you do, David, is the first movie I see of the year is default my number one.
Yeah.
And then I'm adding everything to that ranking.
Yeah.
So if in December I see a movie I really like, I go, fuck, is that number six? And then I'm pushing things out. This year I just decided if I like something, I put a little star next to it.
That's good.
Interesting.
If performance jumps out to me, I put a star next to it. I'm not giving things slots until the end of the year.
Sure.
So we'll see if that changes the results at all.
That's a good way to do it.
I will say in my four acting categories, I have zero overlap. One out of 20 nominees overlaps with the Academy.
Wow.
That's insane.
Kind of crazy.
That's crazy. But that'll make it fun.
Because I like a lot of the performances that got nominated.
Probably, but you know, whatever.
But here we go. And here's the category that includes the one overlap.
So we're doing Best Supporting Actress first?
Correct.
Okay.
My nominees for Best Supporting Actress are Sophie Okonedo, Wild Rose. Jennifer Lopez, Hustlers, should have been an overlap.
Right, that's a weird non-overlap.
Yeah. Florence, Candace, LeBron, Bergen, Pugh for Little Women.
So that is your overlap.
Because Florence Pugh is the new Candace Bergen, who is the new LeBron James because she gets fucking buckets.
And also because she's amazing on Instagram, much like LeBron James.
And much like Candace Bergen.
And Candace Bergen.
All three of them.
All three of them.
So once again, her official nickname from here on out is Florence, Candace, LeBron, Bergen, Pugh.
Love it.
Best comedic performance of 2019, Little Women.
Right.
That's my take. And then two classic Griff Chaos picks.
Mm.
My fourth nominee for Best Supporting Actress is Rebecca Ferguson as the Hat in Dr. Sleep.
Oh, wow.
Great pick.
I love
fucking
this pick.
Great pick.
I love this pick.
Here's the only thing I want to say about that before you even name your fifth pick. You know, the 3-hour director's cut just dropped.
I know.
Got to check that out.
I need to check it out.
Because I am just feeling it brewing inside me. That's the Roman J. Israel this year where that movie that I kind of liked but had problems with might be amazing.
And all the early reviews I've read of the director's cut make it sound even better.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I'm wondering if, the director's cut just dropped this week, right? I think it just came out on Blu-ray or it's coming out next Tuesday or whatever.
Just dropped.
I feel like potentially a director's cut could give her the win in this category.
Rebecca Ferguson in Dr. Sleep is the most I've ever liked a performance that also made me think so much of Jane Krakowski doing Jackie Jormjob.
Great take.
In 30 Rock.
Great take. And, I mean, I'll just throw out my take. Her decision to play the most evil force in the world, like a middle-aged woman at the Litchfield Jazz Festival.
Yeah. I said pretty it's got to make her a lock for the Stevie Nicks movie at some point.
100%. Yeah. She's fucking Tanglewooding out of control.
Yeah. Okay, Ferguson as the Hat got us so derailed that you haven't even said your fifth nominee.
Your fifth nominee.
And get ready.
Oh, God.
Okay. My fifth nominee is Judi Dench in Cats.
I'm on board with that.
Chaos Reigns.
I'm on board with that.
I kind of love
this. I think she's very locked in Cats.
I think so, too.
I highly enjoy her
I think that is.
Cats.
I think that is the hardest and most impressive performance of the year. It is.
I think this is great. I think this, we're off to a good start.
I think I have a good five. Really
bored,
right?
But no, my picks are so boring.
See, mine are pretty weird. I'm telling you, I got weird picks this year.
Yeah, that's good. I like it.
I think everyone talks about, like, obviously fucking Ian kills it, Cats, right?
He does. He's great.
But Ian's got this one song. He's pretty much
Judy has like
pathos
three,
on pathos with him. Yeah.
And so much of Judy's performance is literally just other people talking about how she's the most important creature in the world and them cutting back to her. I'd argue she looks the most ridiculous of anyone in the entire movie.
Yeah. Yes.
She can't really sing. She can't
she's
dance.
She's an all right singer. She certainly can't really dance.
It is pure presence and pure commitment to something that is ridiculous.
But also, you want to go to the heavy side layer, so you're trying to butter her up, right?
Okay. To be fair.
All right, okay, because she is, you know, she's in charge of that process.
To be fair, I'm trying to doorknob a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you guys throw out your five.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
All right, go ahead, Joe.
All righty. So, in alphabetical order, as per the Academy's tradition.
So classy.
Starting with Laura Dern for Marriage Story. So I do overlap with the Oscars more than I think I expected this year. Jennifer Lopez in Hustlers, who should have been top competition for Laura Dern in Marriage Story. Florence Pugh for Little Women. All the things you said about Candace Bergen were off the top of my head as well. So very well done. Margot Robbie in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Hell yeah.
Not Bombshell.
Hell yeah.
She got nominated for the wrong movie.
She did.
And then Cho Yo-jeong in Parasite.
Yeah, I mean, really, to me, it's just who you pick Parasite.
Right. You're spoiled for choice.
I will say this about Parasite, because there were a lot of, you know, wise and correct takes about how it's very tough for foreign language movies and Asian movies to get acting nominations. But, like, they never knew who to campaign that movie, because it is such a true ensemble and everyone is so goddamn good in it.
I mean,
Song Kang-ho is maybe the most recognizable face, so there was some hope he would catch on, but, like, it's really tough.
The same thing happened to Knives Out, actually, which is like, you have so many cast members that you don't really know where to go.
And it is also such a true ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I did not know any of the Parasite people. At different points, I had different cast members in every single category.
Yeah.
I give it my honorary ensemble award, especially seeing it a second time about a week ago. It is crazy how well that cast just works as a fucking company.
Yeah.
And that I just couldn't single out one.
Well, I nominated Park So-dam and Parasite.
Yeah.
And, but the other, you know.
Wait, did you finish your five?
Yeah, you finished.
Yeah, that was my
okay,
five.
Cool.
I also nominated Florence Pugh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Who is on all our ballots, as is Jennifer Lopez for Hustlers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I also nominated Zhao Zhuzhen for The Farewell, and I nominated Annette Bening for The Report, which is the
love her in that
obvious
movie.
Oscar nomination, like lazy that people would have mocked that didn't happen. That would have made me happy.
Right.
And instead they went for Kathy Bates and Jewel, who's great. Yes. I actually think she gives a good performance in that movie. But that kind of felt like them being like, yeah, let's flip a coin to the veteran.
It is also weird that the Globes are the ones who got the Bening nomination.
Right. Yep.
She is incredible. She's incredible.
She's now been sort of snubbed twice in a row now between this and 20th Century
Woman. Well, the 20th Century Woman snub is about as bad as like the election of Donald Trump.
We'll be talking about that later.
10 days from now. In the report, Annette Bening is... incredible.
She's incredible. That movie doesn't work. That movie, I'm a big fan of that movie, and I feel like a lot of people aren't, but that movie doesn't work if it doesn't have movie stars.
Yeah.
And also, she's not doing an impression of this person, but she is doing this sort of like very like detailed, quiet performance.
Yes.
And she's playing someone who's kind of unlikable, but in like a very involved, and she's so good in that movie.
Yeah.
But come on, who are our winners?
I think it's Pugh. I think Pugh is my winner.
It's very defensible. I have J-Lo. J-Lo's
I have J-Lo too. But Pugh would be number two.
It's almost a coin toss for me between J-Lo and Pugh.
A coin to your J-Lo.
As tempting as it is to match all three of us in the same thing, which hasn't happened since the first year.
What did we all match on that one?
Michael B. Jordan, I think, is the only time we've all matched.
In Creed,
I think
that's right?
Right. On one pick. I've seen...
Although I have to say, in a recent spreadsheet realignment, this happened all the time for me, he lost that award.
So to whom?
Tom Hanks in Bridge of Spies.
Fuck.
Boy. Hanks came in and sneezed all over him.
I gotta say, even just the last 15 minutes of talking in this episode has made me re-question 18 things in my best of decade bracket.
Oh, sure. Well, that's
I'm waffling back and forth on everything. Pugh for me is just...
No, it's a very special performance.
And it is. It's just such a perfect supporting performance.
Yeah.
it's kind of like such an ideal for me of what I want out of a supporting performance.
Yeah.
Where someone just owns every scene they're in.
Yeah.
Without hogging the screen. She's always the most interesting thing happening in any frame. When she's given the reins over her own little slide of the narrative.
Yeah.
It's the most compelling part of the movie. It was the second time I saw Little Women in theaters, was late. And missed the Tracy Letts opening.
It's good though.
Came in pretty much at the end of Saoirse with Gorel. But really was sitting down as you have Pew in the carriage scene chalet.
Writer.
And it was kind of interesting to me how much, if you don't see those first two scenes, how much less it feels like Joe's movie.
Oh, sure.
And
yeah.
It feels if it kind opens of on Amy democratic, like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But it is, it's just, it's an actor who's just so ready right there, is clearly going to be the dominant force of the next decade, or one of the dominant forces of the next decade.
Yeah.
And I also just think, you know, I love standing for comedic performances on the show.
Yeah.
I go out of my way to give awards to comedic performances.
Yeah.
And partly because the mainstream comedy is dying.
Yeah.
There weren't many traditional comedic performances, but everything she does in Little Women, I think, is funny.
What's amazing about what she does in Little Women is because, you know, you think back to like the 94 version.
Yeah.
And they cast two different actresses. Kirsten Dunst as the young Amy, mm-hmm. and then Samantha Mathis as the older Amy.
Excuse me. Princess Peach. Sorry. I believe she actually played Daisy.
I stand very well corrected.
Princess Peach OB.
Yes. But the fact that they decided to do this with this one actress mm-hmm. to play Amy, and she sells it so well, the younger version
yeah.
and the older version, even though her voice is so unsuited to playing like a child.
Yeah.
It's such a sort of like deep and sort of like husky voice.
No matter how prepared I think I am, I'm always taken aback the first time she opens her mouth in anything I'm watching.
Yeah.
Being yes. an Instagram video or right. a film performance. I right. always think, I know how deep her voice is.
Right.
And then she starts talking and like she's the new Kathleen Turner.
Great, she is.
The new Kathleen Turner. I love that. Yeah.
yeah.
But that she's able to do that and like still sell Amy and all her sort of like bratty young Aminess is great.
Now please break up with Zach Braff. Can the two of you make your case for Lopez?
No, I'm going to make the case for Zach Braff. She can date Zach Braff. Who cares? People can date
She's
who they
young.
Want.
I mean, we all dated Zach Braff when we were young. It's
We've
a mistake.
All had our moment with Zach Braff.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about Zach Braff that would draw me to him?
What?
He's a very rich man who can buy me anything I want.
There are two people my father always
I'm not saying she's dating him for money.
No, no, I know, but there are two people my dad always sure. goes, can you imagine like just how rich that guy is? And the right, two right. he always brings up are Danson and Braff.
Well, because
he
Danson,
never gets over Danson
Danson's
and
money.
Danson's yeah. I mean, is yeah.
Right. You can't even think about it. But right, we're Braff where it's like, is he even famous? And he must have so much money.
He's
right?
done
like,
so little post-scrubs.
Right, yeah. exactly. And it doesn't fucking matter.
How much yeah. do you think Danson
Siegel is kind
Becker.
Of in that zone too? Siegel, where it feels yeah. like he's yeah. like, you know what? I'm going to do something if I want to do it. And otherwise, you yeah. might not hear from me for yeah. a while. Yeah. Right.
I think for Becker, he probably was making...
Because Becker lasted a while.
Becker, I think, did 5, maybe 6 seasons. You know,
it did
got
over
to
100 episodes.
Got to
I saw Danson's Inside the Actor Studio.
Yeah.
And they didn't even mention Becker. And I'm like, he had another show
guess
that,
who's
that
seen
went to syndication numbers that they don't right. even have time
guess
to talk about.
Guess who's seen every episode of Becker?
David
Lawrence Sims.
Wow.
And guess who loves Becker?
David Lawrence Sims.
That's correct.
Nice.
The dog?
The dog. Arf. All right. My winner's Jennifer Lopez. She's fucking incredible in that movie.
Yeah.
It's one of the performances of the century.
I mean, I agree with the two of you. And yeah, it yeah. feels like it's all been
it's
said.
Fine.
Can
I'm
the
not
two
mad
of you make your little...
My thing with speech. Actresses, and specifically actresses with actors too, but like I really get the like spark of it from actresses, is when they're able to sort of gather up all of their like movie star charisma
yeah.
and star wattage and whatever, and just like... pour it all into this character and yeah. like grab you by the lapels and like make you sit up and pay attention. And that is exactly what she's doing in this. While at the same time, like it's an incredibly physically committed performance. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly emotionally committed performance. Like she and what's Constance Wu's character's name? I can't even remember.
Jessica, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Sure. No, Jessica's her character on Fresh Off the Boat.
Oh, you're right. You're
but
right.
anyway, her and Constance Wu's character have such a bond in that movie. Yeah. Have such like a very like palpable sort of a thing. Destiny, right?
Destiny. Yes. Yeah. Correct. Dorothy. But Destiny. Yes. Exactly. Yes. Yes.
I just think it's, I think she's nailing it on all, you know, on all different levels, but it's to me, it is the quintessential movie star performance. And I think those things don't get valued as well as they should.
I agree. And I think, look, what I love so much about the Pew performance is it's the opposite kind of movie star performance. It's someone fully undeniably arriving. And Lopez is the opposite one. Lopez, if Pew is Jude Law and Talented Mr. Ripley to come up with the 1999 analog, then Lopez is Tom Cruise and Magnolia.
Oh, okay.
It's someone finding the performance that channels their entire legacy as a star into the best piece of acting they've ever done.
Yeah.
Let's do Best Supporting Actor.
And they're going to give it to Dern, who's the Michael Caine. It's a good performance from someone who's been good for so long.
I think she's great in that movie. But
I do too.
Yeah.
But she's very good. None of us would pick her to win.
No. I do like her though. Everybody likes Laura, and she's going to win an Oscar, which she doesn't have one of.
Yeah,
and it's just sort of one of those, you know, when you look back, you'll be like, huh, what was the story here? And it's like, she was on a
hot 5-year run.
Yes.
I kind of prefer her in Little Women, which is a scorching take because some people think she's bad in Little Women.
That's very
but
wrong.
I like her wild energy, you know, like wild, wild parentheses 2015 or whatever.
Yes.
Wild
2014.
Like I like her and as the sort of like sparkly kind of like overflowing with passion mom.
I think she's great. Yeah. Right. She's playing a good Renata.
And I will say at the Critics Circle when she won, you know, you then have to formally sort of vote on like, are we going to just give it for one movie? Or are we going to give it for both movies?
Yeah.
And when that voting was done, we gave it for both movies. It was like, okay, we're moving on to the next category. And I went like, she also was in Cold Pursuit this year. And everyone like looked at me and I was like, I just figured I had to say that.
No comedy points.
And no comedy
points.
Does
the New York Film Critics Circle ever award comedy points?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to make a motion
that motion next year.
So, all right. Best Supporting Actor. Oh, let's go back. I'll start. Griffin can be K. We'll go.
Yeah, yeah. Snake style.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Best Supporting Actor.
A term I only know because of Doughboys.
Right. Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph Pesci, I'm seeing here.
Okay.
In The Irishman.
Right.
Tom Burke in The Souvenir. Alessandro Nivola in The Art of Self-Defense. And Song Kang-ho, Parasite. I'm boring this year.
I don't think so.
Yeah, whatever.
Those are pretty good. Those are good
things. They're great.
All right, mine are...
Love those guys.
Timothy Chalamet in Little Women.
Mm. Ah.
Mm.
Chris Cooper in Little Women.
Joe! I almost thought about trying to wedge him in there, and I went, Joe's going to take care of
him. He's a bowl of soup in that movie.
Yeah, he's a real bowl of soup.
God.
Mutton soup. Mutton chops.
What? Yes. Tom Hanks in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
He is a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
He is a beautiful day in that neighborhood. Richard Schiff in Clemency.
Richard Schiff in Clemency.
Joe,
good performance.
He was my number six.
And
I felt bad about cutting him. And once again, you've alleviated my guilt. He was my six.
Toby himself.
And Wesley Snipes in Dolomite is my
name. Which is that was a close one for me too.
Yeah.
Love Wesley.
Okay. Oh boy. There's one big decision based on category placement. I have two actors right now, one in Best Actor, one in Best Supporting Actor, who both arguably could go either way.
Mm. Okay. We'll go on.
And I think this
Let's just talk through it, you know.
I think this is the decision I'm gonna make.
All right.
Jamie Bell and Rocket Man.
Great performance.
It's a good one.
Alessandro Nivola in The Art of Self-Defense.
He's just so good in that movie.
Wesley Snipes, Dolomite is My Name. Jeremy Bob under the Silver Lake.
Who's that? Is that the Piano Man?
Yes.
That's like maybe the scene of the year.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
Yeah. And this is my flipper. It's Willem Dafoe in The Lighthouse.
I would call him like in this year of two-handers where one got deemed supporting.
Right.
Yes, he is the supporting in The Lighthouse.
Sure.
Much like Pitt, much like Anthony Hopkins, much like there's another really obvious one. There's a lot of two-handers where they just kind of had to make a decision.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the other one is.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say my flipper with it is Tom Burke in The Souvenir.
With him, I was sort of like coming out being like, well, I think it's a lead role. And then they ran him supporting. And I was like, I guess he is in and out of the movie. And also it is almost sexist for me to call him the lead in that movie.
Yeah.
Because of the way that movie is designed. So I was like, yeah, sure. He's supporting. That's fine.
That movie just more so than most of the ones we're talking about really feels like a duet to me. Even though it is her story.
It's her story. And I don't know.
But you'll talk about him now here. I'll talk about him later.
He's my winner, to be clear.
Yeah.
That's the performance.
That's my hesitation, because I think Dafoe is my winner, but if he was in this category, he would probably be my winner.
Dafoe is such a recent winner for me. I do enjoy him.
And that's why I'm putting Dafoe here and giving him the win, because I've snubbed him a couple times in the past. I didn't give him the Florida Project one.
Yeah.
You fucked up.
And I feel like this is the Dafoe of the decade pick for me.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
So you both went with Alessandro Nivola from
The Art of Self-Defense,
yes,
the
I
Riley
did not
Stearns
see.
Movie, which is a pretty good movie, with a really funny,
unbelievable firecracker performance.
With just this absolutely like, oh, I forgot Alessandro Nivola is talented,
yes,
performer. Like, not that I don't like
no.
him.
No, yeah.
He's fine. I've liked him in plenty of things.
But I also
you're like, oh, there's a well of talent that no one has tapped.
I think he's very often maybe not misused, but not used to his best strengths. And something like Disobedience,
yeah,
the Sebastian Lelo film, which I like a lot, and I think he's very good in.
Yes.
You watch that and you're like, this is a skilled actor doing a good performance.
Yeah, right. The only problem with that performance is that it's, you know, it's one thing. He's good at it. Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. I think very often people hire him just to do one thing, mm-hmm, because he is good at stillness. He is good at seriousness.
Yeah. Very serious.
And then something like Art of Self-Defense, where he's playing like
He's
playing notes on different instruments at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so funny in that movie.
He's so good.
That movie is sort of like an American Yorgos Lanthimos movie. Like, it has that sort of weird unreality where you're like, people don't talk like this.
Especially the ending.
Yes, but it also kind of rules. I
feel like that movie totally passed me by, I have to say.
It didn't get a big release. No. It was a summer movie. You know, like, it's very good, though.
That's There's also, because this year also had The Art of Racing in the Rain, so it really
I missed that art.
I didn't see that either.
Who's your winner?
My winner? I think it's Timothée Chalamet for Little Women. I think he's so good at playing that kind of, you would almost feel like an actor like that would be reticent to sort of go full boat into this kind of like young, sort of like, you know, young hot thing, fuck boy kind of a thing.
Right.
But he like, he not only goes fully into that, but then he gives this character such like, you know, you understand why he's sort of lashing out the way he is and sort of striking out for this connection with these, you know, these March girls and whatever.
I had gotten so fucking sick of Timmy.
I know.
After The King, I was ready for revolution. I wanted to dethrone Timmy.
Did you see those on back-to-back days? Or no. I remember you telling me after The King, I think I'm done with him. And then after Little Women going, I'm back in.
Yeah.
Basically. I mean, The King, the other thing, the problem with The King, apart from that, it's not a very good movie. And it was also, it's like, I was so ready to love that movie. I love British history.
Yeah.
I love Shakespeare.
And many have said it's good to be The King.
And it's...
many have said it.
I mean, Ralph, for one.
There you go.
Ben has like, not spoken
the
once.
The problem with The King is that, I mean, Ben's going to weigh in.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yeah.
Ben always saves his best for last in the blankies.
Exactly. The problem with The King is that also I went in and had already screened in Venice and people were like, Pattinson's got a great, you know, great part in this. And so I spent 2 hours being like, when are they going to get to the fireworks factory? Where is fucking Pat? Because he comes in the last 15 minutes
really?
Of that movie.
Oh, wow.
And when he comes in, you're like, oh yeah, this is great. But you have suffered through Timmy being like, should I be the king?
Right.
What is it to be the king? And I'm like, oh my God, have some fun. And then Little Women, she just knows how to use him.
Yeah.
She really does.
Yeah. I think they have such a great sort of like working chemistry, him and Saoirse and Gerwig all together. It's...
I'm sorry, just Saoirse is not in the new Wes Anderson, which I remember her being announced and everything was saying
Me
that
too.
She was
French
in
French Dispatch.
And her she got dispatched.
Sure did.
Because I was ready for her and Chalamet. Chalamet's still in it. She's not in it. And the poster that came out, there's a young actress who I've never heard of who's in that main
villain
block.
With like a mustache and it's like a Suspiria situation.
Oh, they're pretending that she's Benicio del Toro.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, she's talented enough to do that.
But yeah, I mean, like, I don't know who else. I mean, Bradley Pitt, he's quite good.
Right. Yeah. I just cut him literally at the last possible second. And
he's going to win an Oscar.
That's the thing. I just said I'd rather give the spot to someone else who's not in the conversation.
This guy, Joe Pesci, heard of him.
Phenomenal.
He's doing a lot of good work.
He was on my long list for, I didn't love a lot about The Irishman, but he was absolutely my favorite thing about that. I thought he was so good.
And then Song Kang-ho, like, I think the most crucial turn in Parasite rests on like just imperceptible shifts
it's
in his face and
that
mood.
Final scene.
Yeah.
And you need him to build. And also, I mean, he's just a very arresting actor anytime you watch.
Yeah. I mean, this was a tough year for supporting actor because there were so many two-handers, as we there said, were. That it's like you have true supporting performances.
I enjoy Hopkins in Aid Pope.
I enjoyed a whole lot about Two Popes.
Very enjoyable.
It is weird for it being like the most easy watching movie that I still haven't gotten around to watching it on Netflix.
Yeah.
But I tried to cover more people who are true supporting performances. And other than Defoe,
I think that's fair.
Was kind of knocking out a lot of the more ensemble or two-hander pick. I want to do my 2 seconds on Jamie Bell.
He's fantastic in that movie.
Friend of the show.
Kind of the heart and soul of that movie.
But I messaged him.
Not to be cliched.
This months ago. So I'm not just saying this because I know he's probably listening right now. It is my David Oyelowo Award for the thing that's toughest to do, which is just to play a decent, uncomplicated person.
Yeah.
In a movie that is like so big and where Taron Egerton, who I think is very, very good in the movie, like so much to play.
Yes.
His job is to just stand there and kind of express concern and remain steady.
Right.
Yes.
And he's so fucking good. He makes
the
it
story
so much more interesting
Burning
than
Tobin,
has any excuse to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jerry and Bob, we said scene of the year. I mean, that's just like a perfect one scene chaos.
Wait, what are we
I mean,
about?
That scene is incredible under the silver lake.
Right?
I just I'm like, is that perform? He is good. I can't deny
I think that
it.
Scene's the best scene in the movie. It's maybe the best scene of the year, but I think that performance is doing a lot of work. I think there's something to the fact that it is a younger actor in old age makeup playing some weird maniacal sketch comedy old man rather than it being an actual old man. And I think that falls into the performance. I give him credit for
that. I watched Under the Silver Lake on a train back to New York from Buffalo. And I sometimes think it didn't happen. I sometimes feel like it was an experience that I may have like dreamed. It's such an odd.
It is an odd movie.
Yeah. Odd movie.
I watched it on a screener on a plane to Sundance last year and was kind of like, that didn't vibe for me. And then I saw it again with you and Alex at the Angelica, had a much better time with it. It's better to see movies in theaters.
Can
and
I
not
just
when you're stressed out on a plane.
Go one step back and give my 2 cents on the one I forgot to discuss, Sofia Canedo and Wild Rose.
You did already shout her out on a previous episode, but
I do. I just want to say my one sentence about her. We talk about this in our Rachel getting married, Ricky and the Flash episode, that the Audra McDonald scene where there are all these interesting layers added because of the racial dynamics of it, that you can't tell if that was written into the script, if that was just a smart casting choice or if the actors bringing it all themselves. Yeah. And I think Sofia Canedo in Wild Rose is so fascinating because it is a film that in most cases by description would sound like a white savior movie.
Sure.
Most times you've seen that story. It is a rich, white, domesticated woman reaching out the hand and giving a golden ticket to a person of color.
Right.
And the fact that the dynamics are flipped in that movie, and I feel like Sofia Canedo plays the sort of nuance of that in every moment, is incredibly compelling and impressive to me.
She's great.
Yeah, she's great.
I also love that movie. Wait, I had one other thing I feel like I wanted to say. It's gone.
Okay.
Oh no, just Pitt. He's supporting. He says, I carry your bags.
I agree. I agree.
Very much the picture of being a good supporter. Yes.
He was never in lead for me. He was always supporting and I just caught him because he's getting his moment. This
You got I want to defend, my Richard Schiff pick because I did catch an air of incredulity there.
No, hey, not at all. I was just surprised.
I endorsed.
I don't like that movie. That much.
I'm okay.
It's sort of, I'm okay. I'm okay to mixed on it, but no, I just hadn't thought about old Schiffy and I was surprised.
That's my Tucci performance of the year.
It's one of those
just
performances.
Do the work performance.
It grew on me because the more you think about, or the more I think about Elfrey Woodard's performance in that movie, which I really loved.
Yeah. We'll talk about later.
He's such an interesting mirror for her because he also is sort of like, you see the strain of what this work that he's been doing has been putting on his life. And they're both sort of meeting at the middle from like opposite ends of the spectrum. And they don't ever like have a moment of like really like
you know, commiserating with each other, but like you can tell that like it's, you know, it's the same sort of weight that's been on him.
Hard agree.
I think he's really, really good.
Agree. I'm glad he got shouted out. I feel less guilty about leaving him off my list.
Yeah.
It is one of two performances I've seen in the last 2 months that falls into this is exactly what I want to age into doing as an actor.
Nice.
And is Richard Schiff in Clemency and Joe Pantoliano in Bad Boys for Life.
Nice. Right.
Those are the two benchmarks I'm setting for the next 30 years of my career.
Perfect.
Pantoliano in Bad Boys for Life.
Perfect.
Is perfect.
That's all I want
to
be.
And he has a scene that any actor all the way up to Tom Cruise would be happy to be.
Guess the horse.
It's an incredible
scene.
You
got the Duke.
You do have the Duke. All right, let's move on. Should we just move on to the acting category? Like the lead actors? Oh, wait, wait. Before we do, the Blankies made their picks.
Oh, you got this too. So they did.
They did gender neutral picks.
So they picked 10 in supporting, 10 in actor.
All right.
But in lead. But,
so I will read their 10.
Can I say this for just 2 seconds? Because I feel it's like this is a conversation. It's very hard to make the 10. It's a conversation that's increasing every year about like, are the separated by gender categories going to fall by the wayside in our progressing culture?
Yeah.
And I think the thing is, at the end of the day, it is the most fun to nominate performances.
Yes.
You know, it is so much fun to do. You want to have more actors nominated than anything else.
Right.
Because it's the easiest thing to latch on to. Mm-hmm. And also the fear is always if you eliminate gender lines, then men are going to take over every category.
That is my fear.
Now, for the Blankies, they pretty much maintain 50-50 parity. It was pretty close.
They did. I mean, the thing I will say is that the real problem is winners, not nominees. The reason that it'll probably never change is that you want two winners.
Yeah.
But anyway, here are the supporting.
You want four winners.
That's what I mean.
Right.
But yeah,
yes,
two per
exactly.
Category. You want so here are the supporting actors: Florence Pugh and Little Women. This is ranked, so I'll just read it top to bottom.
What was that name?
Florence, Candace, LeBron, Bergen, James, Pugh.
Cool. Thank you.
Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Jennifer Lopez in Hustlers, Joe Pesci in The Irishman, Song Kang-ho in Parasite, Willem Dafoe in The Lighthouse. So those are all performances.
Yeah.
Shout it out. Also got Al Pacino in The Irishman, Solidarity. We've got Laura Dern in Marriage Story. Daniel Craig in Knives Out, who is a lead. I'm not really sure what's happening there.
Yeah.
You can say that Ana de Armas is sort of the lead of that movie. Sure, but so is
He's
Daniel
also
Craig.
Melody, yeah.
That movie is about him realizing that even though he is bored of mystery solving, he is weirdly in on this person, which is what I love about
that
movie.
Really good take.
That's what that movie is about. The movie is at the, like, he figures it out really early on. And then, you know, and then he's just like, well, I'm the greatest detective. I guess I'll, follow this thread. Cause he has that whole speech where he's like, you know, it's a parabola. It always ends and I'm always there. And he's like, you know, he's Poirot, but bored.
Right.
And then at the end, he's like, here's the thing. I watched you not take the money.
Yeah.
You're a good person.
Right.
You shouldn't give them money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the twist at the end of Knives Out is that she probably is going to give them money because, as he says, she's a good person.
Right.
But it's in her. She's the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's always going to have that
rules.
On
her rules.
Yeah.
Great takes all around. I'll throw out my take. I still just think this is award for the year. Performance most in need of facial hair.
You want him to have a mustache or something?
I don't have any problems with anything
Maybe
he does
in the sequel,
as an actor.
He can
I think
have a
all
mustache.
Of it's great. I hope he has a mustache. I want a little bit of distance from Daniel Craig in that performance visually.
He has an emotional mustache, I feel like.
That's
that
the problem. I keep on, it looks naked to me because I can feel him playing the mustache.
Yeah.
And I don't hold it against anyone in particular.
Right.
And I still love the movie, but I want that stash.
Yeah.
And number 10 was Parks and Rec and Parasite, Jessica, we stand.
Yes.
Cool.
All right. So let's move on. Do they
have a winner?
Well, number one is Florence Pugh in this ranking.
Cool.
So my guess is she's the winner. So should we move on to the lead actors or do we want to do screenplays or I forget how we sort of bounce around here.
Let's maybe do the two screenplays.
Sure. Right? Fine. Yeah. Whatever. You go first.
No, let me
I almost called you a bitch, but I decided not to do that. Well, you know how I'm always going, bitch? Yeah, Jesse Pinkman, fucking idiot. I need to be canceled.
Yeah,
don't cancel me, please.
No, you're super canceled.
Please don't cancel me.
We should mention also, this
cancel
first
2020.
First episode ever recorded at Little Nicer.
This is Little Nicer.
So you're in his first works online.
You're in on Little Nicer.
I'm in on Little Nicer.
Even though it's still a pretty big apartment, not to brag.
And it's definitely Little Nicer.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And Forky came up with that name. Shout out.
And congrats again on your engagement to Forky. Best original screenplay.
Us. Uncut Gems. Parasite. The Souvenir.
and High Flying Bird.
High Flying Bird. That's a good pick.
Thank you. Do I do Adapted as well? Do we want to talk about these 10 together? Yeah.
Adapted Screenplay, Little Women, Dr. Sleep, Hustlers, Toy Story 4, and Glass.
Glass.
Yes.
All right.
A Griffin pick.
I do have heard of it. It is a bit of an odd divide this year. But anyway, Joe, yeah. Go ahead.
Adapted Screenplay is pretty thin for me, so I'll start with
a little thin. Little thin.
Yeah. Original Screenplay, Booksmart, Knives Out, The Last Black Man in San Francisco, Marriage Story, and Parasite. And then in Adapted, Griffin mentioning Toy Story 4 actually changed his mind a little bit.
Oh, boy.
A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Hustlers, Little Women, Loose, and Toy Story 4.
Hells yeah!
What did it knock out?
It was going to be Jojo Rabbit.
Ah, Jojo.
I feel really proud right now.
Very good.
I guess it counts as adapted. Sequels are always tricky, but
sequels
yes.
are adapted. That's why Glass is adapted too.
Original screenplay for me. Mm-hmm. The Souvenir, Parasite, mm-hmm. Knives Out, mm-hmm. Marriage Story, mm-hmm. The Farewell. Mm-hmm. One of the toughest categories of the year for me. Yeah. There are a lot of very good original screenplay. Exactly.
Yeah.
Can I just say, just as a disclaimer, it's just my thing. I couldn't figure out how to do it without feeling uncomfortable. I removed Farewell and Her Smell from consideration all categories this year.
I can't do Alex's movies. He's my actual friend.
That's it. I'm not pretending that Lulu's a friend.
Yeah.
But she was on the show, which makes me feel weird. Yeah. Alex is actually a friend. In an alternate reality, Her Smell's in like six categories.
Yeah.
But I also saw it like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And know him too well and couldn't put it in.
Well, shout out Lulu, because you're my winner this year. All right. Adapted Screenplay, Little Women, Hustlers, The Report, Transit, and The Irish Man.
Nice.
And my winner there is Little Women.
My winner adapted is Little Women.
Which is a great piece of adaptation. I really love it as a piece of adaptation.
My winner in original is Parasite. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Pretty good winner.
Yeah. Those are my winners.
My winner in adapted is Little Women. My winner in original is actually, I think, Knives Out.
Well,
Knives Out's a great screenplay.
Yeah.
Little Women is just like it's the best argument for the art of adaptation.
That's what I'm saying. It's just it's a unique piece of
it's
adaptation.
Such a specific singer, not the song. Look at one artist can do with a thing you think you already know as well as you possibly
That's
could.
Absolutely it. Yeah.
Dr. Sleep, I just love that movie is both about someone.
Who wrote it?
I think Flanagan did, right? Did he co-write it? I mean, he definitely wrote it. I don't know if he had a co-writer, but I think that movie is so smart, operating on a meta level, more so than any other Lego sequel, about both like a child of an infamous movie character living with that shadow and a filmmaker living with the shadow of the film that they are sequelizing and the weirdness, a tension between the King book and the Kubrick movie and who the author is of that thing. I think that script is really, really fucking smart.
It addresses the conflict between Stephen King and what he didn't like about the Kubrick movie.
Yes.
Really well and really intelligently and really sort of like keeps a balance of it, but like brings back all that stuff that was changed from the book.
Yeah.
That like King sort of like it sort of ripped the guts out of the story that he was telling, which he's not wrong. Like Kubrick's movie is Kubrick's movie. It's, you know, it's its own thing and it should be its own thing and it's great. But like, I kind of don't blame Stephen King for like hating Stephen.
No, an impossible task to go like, I'm going to try to thread the needle and make something that is both very much a sequel to the Kubrick movie and very much a sequel to Stephen King's book.
Yes.
And an adaptation of a sequel to a book that is different.
It's a lot of moving parts.
It's a lot of plates to keep spinning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'll quickly say, Toy Story 4 falls into this weird thing of like Frozen 2 and Rise of Skywalker, which are movies that feel like 9 months before they came out, they threw out the entire screenplay and started over from scratch. And Frozen and Skywalker totally feel like that. Toy Story 4 is the one that had least reason to exist.
Who wrote Toy Story 4?
I was most fearful of. The final credit is Stephanie Folsom and Andrew Stanton. Mm. I have had people slip me earlier drafts from different writers over the many failed attempts at making Toy Story 4, including the previous Laster versions, all of which I read were insulting and disastrous and had me totally freaked out about this movie. And I think they kind of pulled off a miracle that the film works as well as it does.
Two things about that. One, Frozen 2 is great and I loved it and should have been nominated. Frozen 2 got no credit for being as like perfectly calibrated queer storytelling as it is without being allowed to have that character be like within the constraints of what Disney had for them, which was we can't let this character be canonically queer.
Yeah.
To like, they're like, okay, well then we're just going to have her running through an ice tunnel and like spread, like tossing aside like these phalluses made of ice. Like
you were describing the one scene in that movie.
It's so good.
And that scene I think pulls off that.
And it maybe makes me forget about all the other things about the movie that are kind of, that are like rote.
Yes.
But I don't think they're, I think they're at worst paint by numbers. And I think at its best, that movie is really, really like invest itself into the Elsa character in a way that I was very, very happy with.
I think there is 15% of that movie that really successfully does what you're saying.
Yeah.
And is really cogent and is what I want out of a sequel. And the remaining 85% is like watching someone else play a really bad game of Dungeons and Dragons. It is so needlessly dense. It has so many fucking elements. It has so many conflicting storylines. Like I guess, one line of the Elsa thing, when it's jamming, it's jamming.
Yeah.
And the rest of the movie had me going crazy.
Yeah, I don't care about their grandparents. I don't care. Whatever. Frozen 2. Show yourself. It's not like... anyway,
but Show Yourself was the better song too. It should have been not the one.
Find Bird. I just want to say most fun dialogue of the year. It's just a beautifully literate, great. Very wordy.
So great. Movie. That was a late cut for me. That's right.
But that's like, I mean, that's like, a spoken musical. Yeah. It's just great to watch those actors run around with that dialogue.
Let me give you the blanky picks. Original screenplay, Parasite, Knives Out, Marriage Story, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
Adapted, Little Women, The Irishman, Hustlers, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Jojo Rabbit.
Okay.
Just giving you the picks.
The exact reason I give Parasite my award for best original screenplay is the exact reason I'm terrified at the idea of him doing this HBO show. Because he's saying it's based around all the scraps of backstory that he built out and didn't have time to put in the movie. And I think that movie is so great for just how fucking lean and economic it is.
Sure.
And how many things are implied but aren't really delved
into.
So it's
still going to have to do with the characters? It's not going to be like an anthology? Unclear. Of like, I think I still have hopes that he's going to pull out something of an, if not like a legitimate anthology, but something that is sort of like what Watchmen was for Watchmen. You know
what I
mean?
Be happy if it was that. And I think the reason we don't know yet is because he does not know. I think,
and I'm happy to let him sort of like figure it out. You know
I think
what I mean?
They said, would you want to make a TV show? And he said, why not? And they announced it immediately. Yeah. He has put no further thought into it outside of knowing he has a notebook of cut threads.
Right, right,
right.
All right. Let's move on to lead actor, actress. Who do you want to go for?
Let's do actor first because we did actress. Actress is like the, I don't know. Actress is my most exciting category. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. So let's do actor. David, you're going first.
I'm going first. And this is actor.
Yep.
Yes.
Best actor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems. Mm-hmm. Leonardo DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Banderas in Pain and Glory.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Holland in High Flying Bird.
Nice. Mm.
And Mark Ruffalo in Dark Waters.
He just missed. He was a late cut.
Hunchback of West Virginia.
Yes. He's so great in that movie.
Bulldog Drummond himself.
It's just an absolutely incredible performance. Yeah. That now I feel like some people are talking about. I do want to proudly say that I shout out Dark Waters so hard in an episode, in I think Philadelphia episode, which we recorded long before it came out.
You were
literally like, no one's going to say praise it. It's going to vanish. And it's so good. And it has literally had that arc. Yeah, and already people have this sort of like, wait, why didn't we pay attention to this movie?
Scott Tobias wrote about that on Vulture.
I had a great time with that movie. I only give it one word, which we'll get to later. I do think it is the movie 2 years from now. I will most be perplexed that I didn't put it in most categories.
Yeah.
It's just such a fucking enjoyable movie.
I still want to know what he was doing with Anne Hathaway's character. That's the only thing I still want to know.
It didn't get to that. Yeah. Incomplete.
Yes.
Incomplete. Great.
I think that's right. All right. Mine.
And I think Anne Hathaway took that role because, of course, it was tax deductible.
Yeah. Listen, but good business is good
Any
business.
Any performance in Dark Waters is tax deductible.
All right. Mine for best actor are Antonio Banderas for Pain and Glory.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig for Knives Out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Leonardo DiCaprio for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver for Marriage Story, and Brad Pitt for Ad Astra.
I can't believe.
So close.
If you had asked me to pick which one of you,
Yeah.
My best actor is Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems. Eddie Murphy in Dolomite Is My Name.
That's a good pick.
Tom Burke in The Souvenir. Keanu Reeves in John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum.
Hell yeah. And you gave a very impassioned defense.
Right, so I'm not
going
to go over it again. Yeah. I just think it's the
Which
fucking...
episode do you remember? I don't remember. It might have been on a Patreon. I can't remember.
No, it was main feed. It was main feed. It was, we were doing Box Office Game. It was maybe Lion King. Wait, I don't know.
Who was before Keanu?
Eddie Murphy, Keanu, Tom Burke.
Tom Burke and The Souvenir.
Adam Sandler. And my fifth nominee and my winner is Paul Walter Hauser and Richard Jewell.
Right. Wow. I knew he was your winner. I knew he was winner. Very good performance, in my opinion.
He is my winner. It is so much everything I love in a performance. As much as I talk about my favorite thing being someone playing an uncomplicated, kind person, well, my biggest pet peeve is actors playing dumb people, yeah, quote unquote, or simple people or dorky people, uh-huh, you know, uncool people with a sense of judgment.
Uh-huh.
And especially for this movie, and especially for how often Clint Eastwood does not calibrate performance as well, and you look at the complete catastrophe that is everything surrounding the Olivia Wilde character, yes, the amount of nuance that Paul Walter Hauser brings to the film, I think single-handedly transforms it. And I think it is incredible that you understand exactly who this guy is. He is never playing it with any sense of judgment. At every moment, you are understanding why he's making the decisions, acting the way he is, saying the things he's saying, and also just like hiding under your chair in discomfort, going like, please don't fuck yourself over like this.
Yeah.
I think it's a beautiful performance.
I think I disagree.
Wow.
But maybe not because of his performance. I think the thing about Richard Jewell for me is so much of it is Eastwood being like, They crack down on this guy because of the way he looked, and they decided that his profile, uh-huh, made him the right suspect, so they railroaded him.
Well, I was going to correct you.
And how
they
awful.
They didn't crack down on him. They railroaded him.
Yes.
They railroaded the kid.
And how unjust that is.
Sure.
And then Eastwood seems to be like, but also get a load of this fucking guy.
Totally. And that's maybe why I respect the performance so much.
Yeah.
Because he is both hitting the necessary comedic beats,
yeah,
to be in line with everything Eastwood is doing, and also playing the guy with so much emotional integrity.
It is weird, though. Like, did you listen to the DJA podcast with Clint?
No. Who interviewed him?
Scott Cooper, I think, which is right down the middle.
Okay.
But he always has the same answer. Why'd you hire this guy? Well, he just, you know, looks like him, you know, like he always loves their look. It's always right. Like they just have.
He didn't
look.
Audition. He got a straight offer.
He like was shown a picture of him, right, and was like, oh, wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Because he was originally gonna be Jonah Hill. Anyway.
Right. Which I don't think it works if it's Jonah Hill. I mean, I was like playing the game. Where I was like, I love Jonah Hill as an actor, but I was playing the game and I was like, I don't know if there's anyone else who could pull this off.
No, I think you're right there.
And it's, I mean, such an interesting story, such an interesting character. Yeah. I was just really blown away by every micro and macro decision he made.
All right. Yeah. My winner is Antonio. That is my performance this year.
That's your one.
That just
great.
Absolutely
He's
ruined
so
me. Yep. And I love him as an actor. And like, and it's a tough year because like, I think obviously Sandler is wonderful in Uncut Gems. I think Leo is like,
yeah,
close to career best in Once Upon a
Time. It's maybe my favorite Leonardo DiCaprio performance. I am not usually a fan.
You know, he's no federal marshal, but like, right, it is pretty fucking good.
Yeah, it was a great, really great performance of his. Banderas, I will always have close to my heart because I saw Pain and Glory. I saw an early sort of screening of it pre-Toronto. Mm-hmm. Walked out of that screening and the Cats trailer had dropped.
Wow.
And so literally I'm in like the hallway outside of this watching the Cats trailer on my phone, mm-hmm, trying not to like freak out, even though I'm like freaking out.
Sure.
And I have to like go find the Schnippers like around the corner because I'm like bought a meal and sat down with it just so I'd like sit and experience
We've
the Cats
all
trailer.
Been there processing, mm-hmm, the Cats trailer at Schnippers.
Mm-hmm. And so like that and Pain and Glory have been like wrapped up, sure, in my head, like weirdly
the peak of
twinned.
Your year.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Do you say you're a winner?
I didn't. Mind Adam Driver for Marriage Story.
Good performance.
I think he's so phenomenal in that. I think he's so for his. I think the big reason why a lot of people think that movie is slanted towards him
is because he's so good.
I agree.
In it that like you, your sympathies sort of like go to him.
And I think she's because of that, not totally up to the challenge.
Oh, I
think she's good, but she's not on his level.
I think she's not on his level.
Really good. But that's my,
I pretty much agree with
I think the problem people have that movie is they don't understand that she has lived her complete arc when the movie begins.
You've mentioned this to me before.
And I'm with you on that. I still just think he is such a specific lightning in a bottle performer.
Yeah. He's a great actor. I mean, of course, it's a very dynamic performance. He's very obviously in tune with Bombeck. Like, you know, they obviously have
it's
such
an
a
interesting culmination of the decade for him, too.
Hell yeah.
Which maybe I'll get to soon.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
All right, so my winner was Antonio. Who's your winner is Paul. Your winner is Adam.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to Best Actress. Griffin, you go first.
Best Actress. My nominees are Lupita Nyong'o in Us, Jesse Buckley in Wild Rose, Alfre Woodard in Clemency, Adèle Haenel, Portrait of a Lady on Fire, and Naomi Merlant, Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Those ladies are on fire.
Both of them, literally
mentioned
and metaphorically on fire. Everything's on fire.
Mine are Elizabeth Moss, Her Smell. I am under no such constraints.
Sure. Yep. Fair.
Elizabeth Moss for Her Smell. Lupita Nyong'o for Us. Mary Kay Place for Diane. Florence Pugh in Midsommar.
Mm. Oh, double P.
And Alfre Woodard in Clemency.
So I have a lot of crossover with you, Griffin. I've got Lupita Nyong'o in Us. I've got Jesse Buckley in Wild Rose. Mm-hmm. I have Adèle Haenel in Portrait of a Lady on Fire. I also have Ana de Armas in Knives Out.
Nice.
And Zhao Tao in Ash is Purest.
Nice.
A very David pick.
Very good pick.
That's what I mean by very David.
David means good.
Yeah.
No, yeah. And my winner is Jesse Buckley.
Wow.
She really has been all year. And that was such a surprise movie and performance for me. I rewatched it recently, had a great old time. She's a goddamn star.
Joe?
My winner is Elizabeth Moss. As I got out of Her Smell, my literal thought was, it's going to take a lot to beat that performance for Best Actress for me. And nothing did. It's so... The high wire act of that, where it's going to be, I'm going to be so aggressively unpleasant to you for like the bulk of this movie. I'm going to dare you to look away. I'm going to dare you to not like me. And like, still it makes good on all of its promises.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's so good.
My winner in a squeaker is Lupita.
Yeah.
She's just edging out Adèle Haenel, who is maybe a little bit cut by a split vote within the sections of my brain with her co-star.
Yeah. Agreed.
But I think she is so incredibly good, but Lupita is just, I gotta give her the edge on just a technical level. That is such an impressive skill piece performance in every way.
Yeah.
The fact that both performances are equally riveting when one is so much showier than the other.
Yeah.
She's just great. And I fucking love that movie.
Let me give you the blanky picks. Number one, Adam Sandler, Uncut Gems. Adam Driver, Marriage Story, Lupita Nyong'o, Us, Florence Pugh, Midsommar, Awkwafina, The Farewell, Leo, Brad Pitt, Nat Astra, Ana de Armas, Antonio Banderas, and then a tie between Elizabeth Moss and Scarlett Johansson. So I guess they got 11 out of 10 there.
Yeah.
I know this is the exact opposite of what their intention was, but Lupita was number two on that list?
Three.
And who was number two?
Driver.
So ostensibly...
This is what I'm saying.
You could say that Lupita and Adam Sandler are the winners.
Sure. Yeah.
And
yeah, yeah.
Q was number one in supporting. Who was the highest ranked male in supporting? Pitt. Okay. Just so I know that was what they didn't want to do.
Sure.
But just for my own mental Rolodex.
All right. Sure.
Sure. Okay.
So yeah, actresses. Weird year.
Weird year.
I don't have any of the Oscars nominees.
No, I feel like that was the one category where I think the Oscars let me down the most.
I like Saoirse a lot.
I love Saoirse. I
guess
she'd
be my winner of those.
She would have been
five.
A high runner up for me.
She's and almost like ScarJo, screwed by actually. How consistently yeah. good she's become.
Yes. Yeah.
And how much she is serving the movie in that.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's just getting right to Winslet territory. Right. She'll be at five before she's 30.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
They say it's tough to make the five. She's going to do it before 30.
Yeah.
One assumes.
Man, if I could only made the five before 30.
And, I mean, she's number one. She's jumped up to number one on Griff's pasta dinner list. I'll say that. And I'm not going to harp on it, but I'll say that. Alfre Woodard Clemency is the go-to. Can you believe that no one picked this pick?
I mean, I really, she's great in the movie and she's, you know, one of the best actresses alive.
Agreed. And the obvious thing is she's got that fucking showstopper technical skill piece.
Yeah.
Long shot at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
That's kind of just stunning. But the thing that pushes that performance over the edge for me, the way she plays the drunk scenes is incredible. It is some of the best drunk acting I've ever seen.
She's
the only time I've seen someone play drunkenness as this is the only thing that opens me up to being able to actually process my emotions.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really, that's so good. She's so good.
Yeah.
It's the thing that surprised me the most about Alfre Woodard is we all kind of love her. I don't know how they couldn't have like taken that ball and run with it. Like,
no,
it's Christmas. They fucked it up.
Yeah. I think it's Neon just didn't have the bandwidth to, with Parasite being a runaway.
I always forget about that angle to it. That's totally right. Neon did the right thing. Neon had their best picture horse and they put all of their money on that, and they should have.
Right.
And they were justly rewarded for it. So yeah.
And I think punting Portrait of a Lady to February was a really smart decision.
Well, they, pays well their hand was forced by France.
Yes. My only question is, should they have just not even done the qualifying run and released it next year if they knew it wasn't going
to
be in
they form? Had to do the qualifying run because it was like already critics had already decreed that a 2019 movie.
Yeah.
But and it is a 20 whatever.
It
you
is.
Know. No, I do think they should have released Clemency in like October. They acquired that film in January.
You can't release that movie that late. It's too big of an ask for people.
With it having started
with a truncated season.
It's
but you know, this is Oscar, you know,
know.
Yeah. Inside baseball. Yeah. But it's all right. I mean, are we moving on to director? Are there any technicals we want to do?
I mean, I feel like we usually fill those in after director and picture.
Okay, right. So director.
Shout out a couple of
things.
My
director is Celine Sciamma. In Portrait of a Lady on Fire. She's not in it. She made it. Joanna Hogg for The Souvenir. The Safdie Brothers for Uncut Gems. Tarantino for Once Upon a Time. And Bong Joon-ho for Parasite.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good list.
I agree.
I've got Bong Joon-ho for Parasite. Marielle Heller for It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Rian Johnson for Knives Out. Greta Gerwig for Little Women. And Lorraine Scafaria for Hustlers.
My best director, I have Joanna Hogg for The Souvenir. Celine Sciamma for Portrait of a Lady on Fire. Jennifer Kent for The Nightingale.
Nice.
Jordan Peele for Us. Bong Joon-ho for Parasite.
Very nice. Very nice. I mean, for me, it's always my top five, pretty much.
Yeah.
With it's my five with one exception, which you'll see and it'll make sense.
Sure. I think, I guess maybe I can't talk about that until I talk about my top 10, but.
Let me see who the blankies picked as well. Yeah. My winner is Celine. I don't know who your winners are.
Mine is Bong Joon-ho.
He's pretty good. Yeah, well, he was number one for them as well. And then you got Greta Gerwig, the Safdie Brothers, Martin, Scorsese, who's up and coming.
Yeah, I think it's pronounced
and Celine. Scorcheesy and Celine. But Bong was their winner. All right.
It's time, guys.
It's time, guys. Best picture time.
Yep. It's all best picture time. It's time, guys. It's best picture time.
It's time, guys. It's best picture time. Are we going from 10 to 1 up?
No. 1 to 10.
1 to 10?
Yeah. I think. Okay. 10 to 1 always just sounds weird. But everyone, you know what? I leave it to you.
I might go 10 to 1.
Go to 10 to 1. But just let's all just do them independently. We can't do it all
together.
No,
we won't do that. Yeah, that was a disaster.
That was a bad year.
Disastrous thing that's ever happened on this podcast. And I've done so many bad things on this podcast. Okay. My number 10th best picture of the year is M. Night Shyamalan's Glass. My number 9 is High Flying Bird.
It's a good one.
Number 8, John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum. Number 7, Uncut Gems. Number 6, wait, did I fuck this up? I fucked this up. Hold on. Yep, okay. Number 6, The Nightingale. Number 5, Toy Story 4. I fucked this up somehow mathematically.
Okay.
I'm going to let you guys jump ahead. I put 11 down here. I need to figure this out.
All right. Figure it out. I can vamp for us.
Yeah.
All right. My top 10 for Best Picture of 2019. Number 10, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Number 9, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Number 8, The Last Black Man in San Francisco. Number 7, Portrait of a Lady on Fire. Number 6, Her Smell. Number 5, Hustlers. Number 4, Knives Out. Number 3, Marriage Story. Number 2, Little Women. Number 1, Parasite.
My 10. Number 10, Ashes Pierce White. Number 9, Dark Waters. Number 8, The Irishman. Number 7, The Farewell. Number 6, The Ad Astra. Number 5, The Uncut Gems. Number 4, The Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Number 3, The Parasite. Number 2, Souvenir. And number 1, Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
I like this list of best pictures as Seinfeld episode titles.
The one where there's a farewell. Do Friends version. The one where there are dark waters.
The one there where their knives are out.
Yeah. Knives Out was close for me. Little Women, Us, Peter Lou, Pain and Glory. Those are all sort of like hovering.
Yeah.
Hovering.
The best movies of this year were really good.
Yeah, I had a very good year. I really like everything in my like top like 30 to 40. Anyway, go on, Griffin.
Yeah, Griffin, figure it out.
I think I figured it out.
Okay.
I put 11 down by accident.
You said that.
Yes. I think John Wick Chapter 3 is the one that gets cut out.
All right.
I believe my list, this makes sense now.
Go ahead.
Should be Glass number 10, High Flying Bird number 9, Uncut Gems number 8, Irishman number 7, Nightingale number 6, Toy Story 4 number 5, Souvenir 3, Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
You missed 4.
Souvenir 4. Portrait of a Lady on Fire 3. Us 2. Parasite 1.
Right. You know what you have to do is put little numbers next to
it. I fucked it up. I fucked everything up.
All right, let me give you the blankies. Okay?
Okay.
Right. Number 10, Midsommar. Number 9, Portrait. Number 8, Farewell. Number 7, Once Upon a Time. Number 6, Marriage Story. Number 5, Irishman. Number 4, Knives Out. Number 3, Uncut Gems. Number 2, Little Women. Number 1, Parasite. Yeah. Parasite's the king.
Parasite's the king.
It's good to be the king.
That was.
Remind me what the two of you picked because I was stressing out over
my number ranking. One is Portrait of Lady on Fire. That has been the movie all year. Yeah. It rules.
It's my number 3, despite me saying multiple different things at different points in time. Parasite, Us, Portrait, Souvenir, Toy Story, Nightingale, Irishman, Uncut Gems, High Flying Bird, Glass. That's so my list in order.
Nightingale right. took the end of the list by storm for you. It did.
And I don't know how to pronounce her name, but Franchise Aisling, the lead actress in that, would easily make the year.
You got her name backwards.
Aisling Franceschi, whatever. Yes.
Yeah, I believe it's you pronounced Ashley. Like Aisling is like Ashley.
Sure.
I it is a tough, it's an Irish name.
Yeah, I think that's the best movie of the year that I would never recommend to anybody.
Uh-huh.
It is so fucking punishing, but it's I love movie. Jennifer Kent.
Yeah.
She's it's like the discovery movie. Of the decade for me. Like that film a lot. I think it's very uncompromising. I think Josh Cooley did a very good job with Toy Story 4, but it was very hard because there were so many hands at different points on that movie to give him a director nomination.
Yeah, right. That's one of the, you know, 60 or 70
but
best
otherwise, it's
year.
My top four. And
Toy Story 4 was maybe
director.
My most pleasant surprise of the year for me.
As you know, Griffin, I had a great time watching Toy Story 4.
And you were so ready to shit on it.
I certainly was. And I have it 45th. And would you like to guess what's above it and what's below it?
I mean, actually rude. I wasn't expecting it to make the 10, but actually
it made
rude.
The 50.
It should make the 20.
No. But can you guess what's right above it?
Can I guess what's right above it?
No. I mean, what the fuck? Why am I even asking you this?
Let me guess.
Sure.
If he nails this, I'm going to fucking flip.
Yeah, that's true.
This is number 44.
Number 44 on the Sims list.
Number 44 on the Sims list. I think... can you give me one tiny hint, the tiniest of hints?
Very, very famous director.
Very famous director.
I can give you more hints.
I'm blanking.
Really slowing down the episode.
Give me one
now.
More hint. Yeah, I'm sorry.
You gave it an award.
I gave it an award.
Like, right, you know, in our awards here. It was one of your winners.
Us?
No. No, us very high for me. Us 12th.
Okay.
Richard Jewell.
Oh, okay. Ah.
And then right below it, the two popes. Got those popes right below. Those popes
kind of rude.
What? Kind of rude?
Kind of rude to Forky. But I understand you're a little biased to the Forky connection at this point. So can't
put it I want to shout out some underrated movie. I mean, Ad Astra is a movie that is sort of, it was six for me. Like, that is a Titanic movie.
Yeah.
I really love Brad in it. So I think it's an exceptional performance from him. I sort of gave him my one nomination over once. Just, you know, Dark Waters, I already shouted out already. Ashes Purest White, if no one's seen it, has only grown for me. I've seen it three times. Jean-Ku. I'm not great at saying Chinese name. I'm pretty good. Yeah. Would yell at me. I mean, Forky. Forky, who speaks fluent Mandarin. And Peter Liu is another one of those, like, get around to it, guys. It will be that Dark Water zone where people
didn't get
like,
get around to Peter Liu, Diane. And I feel like there's one other big one I wanted to see before.
Did you see
list.
The Malick?
I really like.
I gotta see the Malick.
I liked a lot. I really liked it too.
I mean, and he's one of my all-time Mount Rushmore directors. And I was so ready for this to be the full force comeback for me. And I liked a lot about it. And I never crossed over into love.
Whereas I have been so out on him for so long, that I'm looking forward to this bringing me back to the fold. It was on my high on my list of screeners to see, and then I was expecting it to get a cinematography nomination.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't, and so then it sort of like got shoved down to the bottom of the pile of stuff I had to see. So.
It is definitely good. I just kind of wanted to be knocked back in a way I haven't been since New World.
I really love Synonyms, which is another
Synonyms
sort of underseen.
It's a great movie.
I really love Transit, which I did give a screenplay nomination. And I do once again want to shout out Triple Frontier, the fucking like cable rewatchable movie of the century, is absolutely fantastic. I can't wait to watch it again. And no one talks about, no one even remembers that it exists, but it rules. I'm going to go open a window. It's getting hot in here.
Okay. Yeah. Can I give out the Putters and Murmurs this
year?
Can
I just, before we go away from Best Picture?
Yeah.
If anybody there listening hasn't seen Last Black Man in San Francisco, it's so, I think that one really went so underrated this year. And
very divisive movie. This is what I find so fascinating about the arc of Last Black Man in San Francisco, which I liked and didn't love, but loved a lot of elements.
Me too.
Yeah. I would say
great
if we're going to shout out a couple.
One of the best scores of the year, if not the best score of the year.
Is my score of the year, right? And I think because we had to prep our decade as well, we're not going to do as many technical categories. We're just going to shout out a couple things.
Yeah.
That was one I had prepped. That's best music of the year. No question. Hands down. Listen to that soundtrack all the time. I think Jonathan Majors is like probably the next big dude.
He's wonderful.
He is so transfixing.
He was in my 10 for supporting actor. We nominated him at the Gothams.
I feel like it was really hot coming. It was not that hot coming out of Sundance. Then when the trailer started playing, people were like, oh shit, this looks amazing.
Yeah.
Then it felt kind of muted when it came out. And then I feel like it's bumped up again end of year. A lot of people standing.
It's a movie that some people I think are just very, like you, like are very, you know, passionate about. It has, it's a very passionate.
It's, it's such a good mood movie. Like I love a good mood movie.
I forgot to shout out Alita. Jesus Christ.
Oh, Battle Angel? Well. Biggest Eyes.
Biggest Eyes.
Yeah.
Wait, but Putters and Murmurs. I had a good one this year.
There's a slam dunk winner.
I didn't have any Putters and Murmurs contenders this year. I've been waiting for it to come to me during our discussion.
Oh, wait a second. Fuck. I'm now with the pressure blanking on the name and I know the fucking name and give me 1 second.
Okay. Well, obviously
Stall with something else.
I'm just going to talk about a few Putters and Murmurs that are obvious. Okay. One, Bill Camp and Dark
That's
Waters.
My
just
I'm
absolutely
so, oh my
outrageous.
God. I blanked on Camp.
Just a whirlwind.
Camp's the winner. Camp's the winner.
But like, Camp, it's like LeBron's 2012-2013 season if LeBron was only trying to win Putters and Murmurs. Like, it's like he heard the podcast.
It's a naked campaigning, but it works.
It's Oscar bait for Putters and Murmurs.
Exactly.
But
that's my winner. For some reason, I was blanking. I was going to say Tracy Letts.
One, The Irishman could be. I know it's actually called I Heard You Paint Houses, but it could be called Putters and Murmurs.
I heard Putter and Murmur.
Two, let me see some other. I mean, look, Cooper is close. He's not quite a murmurer in Little Women.
Chris
Cooper.
The bowl of soup. Your bowl of soup winner.
But he's also, you know, he never quite murmurs. He's a little too.
No, he's
Stammers and Weepers.
One thing. Kay Callan in Knives Out as grandmama or whoever she was.
Oh yeah.
Here's the thing. Barely putters.
Barely putters.
Pretty stationary.
A lot of murmurs.
But Kay Callan, who played Ma Kent on Lois and Clark, The Adventures of Superman.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kay Callan. I want to just keep bragging that I know who that actress is and that I remember her name. She was good. I'm trying to think of other person.
Well, let me say also
the old guy who gets his face bashed in Midsommar.
Putters his way right off of that cliff. Doesn't he not? Yes, yeah.
Can I say that Dafoe, and this may never be a category again.
He's not murmuring.
No, he's not. No, I'll tell you what he wins. He wins the Toots and Poots Award this year.
Yeah, he did toot a lot.
He's tooting and pooting.
I mean,
puffing on that pipe.
Honestly, look, Banderas in Pain and Glory is sort of in that zone.
Yeah. This is why I didn't give De Niro Putters and Murmurs, because De Niro wins the Mark Wahlberg Award for the year, which is wheel a movie into existence, produce it, play the lead role maybe as well as you've ever played anything, or at least played anything in a long time.
And everybody else gets nominated. Yeah, yeah.
You just serve the fucking film, Wahlberg and the fighter.
Yeah.
You get your nomination only for picture.
Yeah.
You get your producer nomination. The quiet hero of the film.
The quiet hero.
He's so good in that movie.
He is very good in that movie. I am just sort of like searching around to see if there's someone I forgot.
Yeah.
Jordan Peele existential carnival-based horror film.
Yeah.
Of the year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Is definitely a tie between us and Toy Story 4.
He is in it.
It's a tie.
He is in it.
I'm sorry, it's a tie. I don't know who's going to win next year, but this year it was a tie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you never know who's going to win next year.
Existential carnival film.
I have this feeling that I'm forgetting one person.
Yeah. I feel like I had some other joke awards that I'm forgetting now.
But maybe not. Joe, do you have any? Well, I mean, like, yeah, are there any, like, so for me, Score, for example.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I wanted to shout out. Uncut Gems is a great score. Yeah. Last Black Man in San Francisco. I do think Des Plot was very locked in for Little Women.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Mika Levy remains sort of a must-hear composer, and her work on Monos is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the dueling scores in Marriage Story. I like my Randy.
I really like
his dueling scores.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. dueling banjos, but, you know,
Randy's
celebrities.
Randy's on his game.
But what other good score? Parasite has a really good score.
Yeah.
I'll admit I'm like stealing this as like a very MTV Movie Awards category.
Let's hear it.
Midsommar has a great score.
Gnarliest supervillain. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Ready? Thanos in Endgame.
Sure.
Pennywise in It Chapter 2.
Sure.
Ricky T in Retired Bit.
Sure. Mm.
The actual bomber in Richard Jewell.
Right.
And, of course, Olivia Wilde and Richard Jewell. And the winner is Olivia Wilde and Richard Jewell. The greatest intergalactic supervillain of all time.
Wow. The part
her
in that,
performance, it was very dialed up. It was interesting. It was an interesting choice by her.
My favorite thing about that thing in Richard Jewell is
I should have said McCavity and Cats rather than the bomber in Richard Jewell. I kind of fucked up my own joke.
Right. I mean, McKellen and Cats also go for putters.
Oh, yes.
I mean, McKellen in almost anything these days. He was the original winner for Mr. Holmes, obviously. Original.
Yeah, he had a little bit of a spring in his step with
That's why.
The Good Liar.
He does
a little bit of enunciating.
I'm sorry. Best Cat of the Railway Train goes to Skimbleshanks this year.
Finally.
It does. All those years
of handing out Best Cat of the Railway Train.
A very, very tough year. I mean, Anthony Hopkins is trying really hard in the two posts, but I heard they cut out all of his Cat of the Railway Train material.
Right.
That's true.
That was a whole sub arc.
Best orange soda in a film does go to the two popes.
Best actor playing a pope who says, "Hey, that's my pizza," is Anthony Hopkins.
Yes, absolutely.
It's 3:06. I realize I'm 6 minutes late to the Fast and Furious live stream. Oh, I'm hoping they didn't open with the trailer.
I don't think I have they to did. Imagine Twitter is not alive.
Okay. Twitter's not alive with buzz for that.
Another here's my worst putters and murmurs.
Oh, okay.
And this is, I'm sorry to say it.
Uh-oh.
Meryl Streep in The Laundromat. Stop it. I don't like her in that mode.
Yeah.
I don't like her in the mode she's in when she's like sort of doing her slightly haunted, like older lady thing that she's doing. She's also puttering and murmuring in Little Women, to be honest.
She is.
Which is more, she's fun.
It's not quite murmuring. She's getting her point across.
She's arch. Yeah. But then also like, you know, Meryl Streep in The Brown Face. No, thank you.
Okay, yeah, that movie and I can't really defend
that. Were we meant to be surprised by that by the end?
I don't know.
It's very obviously her.
It's one of those performances where you immediately go, this is someone in
this
makeup.
This is someone. And then once you get to that level, it doesn't take you very long to be like, oh, it's Meryl.
I have another. There we go. I just remembered. Rob Morgan in Just Mercy.
Oh, an incredible.
An extremely good performance and a big putters and murmurs. Yes. But that is the only problem with the movie, honestly, is that
he's so good. He's so good that
when he's out of the movie. Right, yeah. Exactly. And Tim Blake Nelson is a best, you know, is almost best scene chewer in that movie.
Here's one I'm going to throw out. Tommy Lee Jones and Ad Astra.
Oh, yeah.
Is it that he's just sort of, he puttered his way all the way to like the edges of space?
Neptune. He might be a little more of a sweaters and fretters though. Yeah, like right. He's in space fretting while wearing a good sweater.
Sweaters and a fretter.
He's a sweater and a fretter.
I love it.
Okay, I'm watching the concert now. Ludacris is on stage.
Oh boy.
He looks like he's having a great time. Well, I think, do we have anything left to say?
About the films of 2019?
No, not really.
I think Last Black Man in San Francisco would also be my best cinematography winner. I think it's a beautiful looking film.
It's a
film.
Nice looking movie.
I think it's The Emergence. Adam Newport Barra is probably the cinematography
winner is Uncut Gems. That is the most incredible looking movie.
It is.
Ad Astra has great cinematography. Yeah. Ed Lachman's Dark Waters work is very underrated.
Very much so.
Let's move on, except... Who's this over here?
Does Ben have any?
Oh, we got some Ben awards.
Ben Hosley.
Hey, yeah, I've been here the whole time.
How long have we been running, Ben? Where are we at?
We're at about an hour 20-ish.
Really?
Whoa.
We've blasted through this. Mean. Really? That little?
Yeah.
I guess you're right. Yeah, you're right.
What do we usually do? I feel like these episodes are usually
so fucking long. Here's what we usually do. Talk through every single nominee, like fucking insane.
Yeah. I think we're also stressed out because we have to do the decade as well.
No, it's
and
true.
We're all freaking out about those choices.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited about the choices, but
I'm terrified of my own choices. Ludacris is wearing a shirt.
That's an evergreen drop.
Ludacris is wearing a shirt that says fake moon landing, no stars in the sky.
Oh, he's coming out as a truther?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
This
is happening in Miami, which I was really considering putting all of my effort in to try to go to this concert. Aside from the fact that we had this scheduled as our record date, I also was in Florida last week for the whole week.
Right,
and I was
like,
I'm not going to go to Florida 2 successive weeks in a row. I did my sad family visit. I'm not going to fly back 5 days later to see Luda, but God, this looks like fun. I'm sorry. Were you saying something, David?
No, I was setting up Mr. Ben.
It's that time in the Blankies episode at the end of the episode.
We always
give out my own original awards. Mm-hmm. I have my own categories. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to get into it.
Let's do it.
All right. So every year I've brought this one back. It's films that should be remade with either babies, animals, or puppets.
Yep, of course.
Right. And now Clowns 2.
Now Clowns 2.
But maybe a robot or two could be cool.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So for babies,
yeah.
How about the baby Irishman?
Yeah, right. This is all the way.
Consistently, I like the idea of tiny little criminals and gangsters. Yeah, it's sure. funny. It's a little mustache drew onto their little cute faces.
Yeah. And I think De Niro could crush moving like a baby. I think it would be completely convincing his body language.
Yeah. All right. For animals, how about The Lion King?
Remake it?
Yeah.
As actual animals?
Yes. With real animals.
Yeah. I think a great call.
Just go roar.
Yeah.
Right. Go full roar.
John Favreau
was mauled yesterday trying to tell Simba a little more passion on this
take. I know we
take.
Totally trashed that movie.
Can't wait to be king.
I know we trashed that movie for a great many reasons, but at the end of the day, my biggest complaint is that no one got scalped while making that film. Right. You can feel the lack of scalpings while watching it. Okay, Ben, sorry.
All right, for puppets, all right, The Souvenir, right? I feel like it would make it kind of like this Commedia dell'arte kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can picture it, little puppets.
I see that.
One of those classy
European puppets.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
you're talking like marionettes rather than hand puppets?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like fine
crafted
shadow
work. It's like Venetian. It's really beautiful. Yeah. For fruit.
But it's also kind of one of those things you see and you're like, well, I mean, I'm glad I saw it. I don't know if I liked it. A lot of craft.
Sure.
Okay, for fruit. Maleficent Mistress of Evil or Fruit?
Oh, so you're saying like
she could be a mistress of fruit?
tension hinges on whether she is the mistress of evil or the mistress of fruit.
Well, I actually didn't take it that way, but I like that.
Just the way you said or fruit or question mark.
Well, how did you take it?
I was thinking
so you were just thinking
fantasy
mistress
fruit.
Of fruit.
It's just fantasy fruit now.
Okay.
Oh, okay. It's a whole kingdom, but like the rules have changed but now. Everyone's fruit.
Is she fruit as well, or is she reigning over fruit?
She is dark bruised fruit.
She's dark bruised fruit.
Yeah, because she's mean.
What kind of fruit are we talking about? Like a guava? What would she be? A pear?
A pear. A real bruised pear.
They do bruise easily.
Yep.
All right. So this one is pretty controversial. Okay. This next one, guys. So.
Oh, no. A boundary is about to be pushed.
Yeah. Okay.
Is he going to miss?
So everyone.
Oh, no.
Hold on to your boundaries.
Okay.
Okay.
This is why they say never host the blankies, because you're going to get canceled after the blankies.
Targeting
your okay. So for clowns.
Oh, boy.
What if there was a world in which the wasn't the only clown? Everyone was clowns.
Okay.
The whole, how twisted would that
and
be?
The problem is that
clowning. The whole city is clowns.
You
can
just
you imagine?
Wait, I'm sorry.
A city of clowns? Sounds like Washington, D.C. Pointing something out. So wait, is this set in Congress? Is that where the film says?
Set
Congress?
On the Senate floor right now?
Oh.
So Ben, what are you pitching? Like a dark comedy? Because sounds a little bit like The News to me.
Tom Phillips is C-SPAN. Todd Phillips, best director nominee.
Yeah. Okay. I you know what? No robot this year. Instead, Knives Out, right? But I want it to be Chains Out, because I'm into chains. This is a new thing for me.
So it's still like with decorative humans. Chains.
Still with humans. It's
the
just
the cast hasn't changed. Just the
murder.
The problem
is chain centric.
So it was like he's like, oh no, I took the wrong medicine. Here, take this bicycle chain and really wallop me with it until I'm dead.
He kills himself with a chain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Cool.
Sounds well off the chain to me.
Thank you.
Text F9 to 97979. I gotta see what this is.
Oh, so they're asking you to do function 9 on your computer?
Not yet.
What if new laptops came out with the, you know, the function keys?
Functions.
And if you hit the function key, you would just that movie would play. So you hit F7 and Furious 7.
Oh my god.
You know what I mean?
Furious laptops. I love it.
I think Vin's about to come out.
Oh boy.
Tyrese Gibson.
They're introducing the family one by one. Tyrese wearing a beautiful ice cream colored blazer and white pants. Weird.
It's Miami uniform.
The man who put the family together.
The one and only Vin Diesel.
Woo, 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 woo,
yeah, there
woo,
they are. Woo. Who's emceeing this event?
I think it's Maria de Menounos.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Is that her name? Yeah.
Yeah, Maria de Menounos. Yeah. We're watching on Griffin's.
Oh my god, he's
iPad
wearing an FF9
right
jacket.
FF9.
Yeah, which is not the title.
No.
Three of them wearing white pants on stage in January.
There's Vin Diesel.
This is how this episode becomes normal Blanky's language.
Yeah, right. We're just watching an iPad right now.
Is it being picked up on the mic?
What if Michelle Rodriguez?
Put your mic at it.
I mean, we probably really shouldn't technically,
okay.
But
great.
But just tell everyone what's happening.
Well, no,
Vince,
let's hope that they drop the trailer so that we can end this episode with us reacting to it, honestly.
But yeah, let me just get through.
Maria Menounos' dress is golden.
Griffin,
just says fast, furious.
Ben, I'm sorry.
I understand this is a very important thing to him. Okay. So I, of course, then also do the weddies. I give out the golden mops.
What a show.
I'm sorry, I forgot about golden mops.
Yeah.
All right, so this year, I would say most of the picks are a little untraditional.
Oh.
The traditional pick is The Lighthouse.
Very wet.
Oh. Right.
It's so wet, it's drenched in farts.
A very splashy movie.
It's so splashy. It's got so poo-poo splash. It's got all kinds of dark water, every kind of
fluid and whatnot. And
Yeah.
Dark water should also be a dark horse pick. Oh, am I getting ahead of you?
Stepping on his punchline.
Decided that I would then pick all the movies this year that really made me cry.
Oh,
that made me wet.
So you needed you needed a mop.
Well, I think it's a good choice of wording.
A mop to the face.
Yes. So
do you like that
the
phrase,
Farewell? Just because it's so devastating
and
beautiful.
Of course.
Cats.
Sure. Okay.
You lost it during Memory.
Memory is such a good song. It gives me goosebumps and it gets me teary-eyed.
And can we all acknowledge that Cats is simultaneously the best and worst film of the year?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it can only be ranked as both and nothing else?
Yeah, that's absolutely.
It's Cats. It's an A slash F.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Judy.
You cried during Judy?
You cried at how mediocre it was?
It was so mediocre.
I thought it was sad.
It's gonna walk all the way to a win.
No, of course, very sad what happened to old Judy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
I wasn't even that old. What happened to middle-aged Judy?
Well, in real life, what happened to middle-aged Judy?
Yeah.
Did not end very well. Yeah.
If you cried watching that movie, I got a Wikipedia page that's going to destroy
you. I'm with Ben.
You like Judy, all right?
Judy.
Right, Joe? Yeah.
I like Judy.
I do not like Judy. And then finally, the Mulan trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby. That got me good.
I'm so into the Mulan.
Every time.
Me cry is in the heights. It's so embarrassing.
Every time, David. Every single time. And not only
good
just like.
Good morning, Jimmy Smits is
three
here.
Three separate points in that trailer. It's gets a nice me every single
peaks.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He's been waiting like 15 years to make his fucking musical, John M. Chu.
Yeah.
His first film he ever set up was a Bye Bye Birdie remake.
Nice.
And that never got made. And every film he's made since then, he's tried to cash in with a full-blown musical. And he's finally getting his
so
fucking
good.
Chance. It looks so good. Yeah. Also, Michelle Rodriguez is wearing tiny, tiny little sunglasses. And I can't tell if they're backpack straps or like shoulder holsters like a cop has.
Okay, what if
but
Michelle
she looks
Rodriguez-
like Trinity?
What if Michelle Rodriguez just stops the whole thing and decides that she's going to take over and I'm going to announce Widows 2?
Oh,
that'd
my
be great.
God.
Right now.
Widows dollar sign.
What if Fast 9 is a Widows Fast and
Too
Furious?
Too Fast, Two Widows.
Crossover. Took Viola Davis with just parachutes into this Miami
in
Stadium.
A double role.
That's amazing.
That would be cool if she was
Now they're showing a behind the scenes montage. Okay, yeah, so we got some time until the trailer.
Okay, great. So let me just get through my no thank yous.
All right.
Okay. The two popes. Enough popes.
Too many popes.
Too many popes.
You like zero popes? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No,
the
zero.
No popes. Yeah.
Absolute zero popes.
Okay.
1917. Too old.
Too far back. You want a movie called 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now you've got my interest.
Right.
Motherless Brooklyn. This is actually real.
Okay.
My good friend is a stuttering advocate and was
very offended by the movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yep. Portrait of a Lady. Need more fire.
So you just wanted like maybe even forget the portrait.
The
portrait should just be called fire.
Yeah.
It's just like everyone's just it's like that stuntman who's on fire in a movie, like just
but
walking
it
around.
Just keeps going.
You think every walk they went on should have been for kindling.
Yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My favorite part of Portrait of a Lady on Fire was recognizing Valeria Golino in like her final scene when she came back on screen. I was just like, that's who that is.
Yeah, yeah. Man. Yeah. She's good happy. In that movie.
She is. Good. She's very good.
The thing about that movie is everyone's good. The maid is
best
really good.
Best performance by a cast member from Hot Shots Part 2.
Yeah.
One of the only people to ever win Best Actress at the Venice Film Festival twice. Do you know this? Her and Shirley MacLaine. Valeria Golino has won twice.
I had no idea.
And one time she won in the last decade for a movie I've
Which
never heard
Hot
of.
Which Hot Shots movie was it that she won?
Of course. Okay. That's a better performance.
Yeah.
It was like Talia Shire.
Sure.
Do you have any other no thank yous?
Yeah, Toy Story 4. Sorry, Griff. It's just I can't. I haven't watched those movies in years. I haven't even seen 3.
Well, and it sounds like you never will.
I mean, I don't see any reason why I would ever need to watch Toy Story ever again.
The reason is patreon.com/blankcheck.
Wait, what? All right. So now lastly, honorable mentions again to the Safdies, but this year for Uncut Gems for Scumbummery. Very good.
Yeah.
For achievement in Scumbummery.
Climax for the best voguing scene of all time.
Yes.
Her smell for being punk as fuck.
Uh-huh.
And the Beach Bum for being Ben's current lifestyle award.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
That has been the 5th annual Ben's Award.
Did we have a robot?
No robot.
It was just the robot.
It's chains.
Now it's chains. Okay, chains out.
Ben, do you have any like special awards? Like sometimes at the Oscars, they'll give out like a technical achievement or
like
special
the
award.
Irving J. Thalberg Award.
Right.
For,
like not
know.
Every year,
the Ben,
but sometimes.
The Ben Hosley
right.
J. Thalberg.
Toy Story came out, first computer animated film. Yeah, they gave it a special award. Sometimes a special thing happens.
Right. Well, it's the 5-year.
That's
you know,
true.
Like blanky, so it's sort of special.
Yeah, to make the 5.
Yeah, and it's tough to make the five. All right, I do actually have something. If you'll just give me one moment.
Oh,
if you sure. could vamp.
Oh, sure.
Thank you so much.
I'll describe what's happening in the live stream. Maria Menounos, they just played this clip of like behind the scenes, like EPK interviews from all the films. They're really ramping up the sense of inevitability to this movie, which, she just screamed, which makes me think that maybe the trailer's coming or maybe another musical act's going to come on stage. There's something's going on the screen. I think, fuck. I actually had a hard really time sleeping last night over this.
Okay. So for David Sims.
Oh, David
Sims. Achievement in hotness of 2019, I award him this piece of fashion.
Oh my God.
Fashion.
Ben is handing me a
fashion.
A sleeveless flannel. Is that how best to describe a flayed? But it's sleeveless.
It's sleeveless. Because, David, flannel. I'd like to, on the record, let our listeners know and you know that you are now being rebranded as Bad David 2020.
You've nailed hot, and now you're bad.
Yeah, you're bad. Of course. You're a bad boy.
Bad David 2020.
Oh, I love it.
My God. Fits. Guys,
it's actually a really good fit.
It's a really good fit.
This is a very good look.
Oh, shit.
Imagine if I dress this way.
Imagine.
I don't need to imagine. I'm looking at it.
I'm saying.
Imagine all the people.
I don't know. Maria Menounos is just taking the camera into like the press tent. Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
Is she vamping? Here. What's going on?
I don't know. It feels like they shouldn't have to pad this out this much.
All right. Well, anyway, that was fun.
David, good one, that guys. Is great one.
A great one.
Man, where did you get this? It actually fits me.
I know.
Not easy to find a good fit for Dave.
It's R13 is the name of the designer.
Wow.
Really cool stuff. Kind of like a grungy kind of vibe to it.
Love it.
Check out their stuff.
Maria Menounos is walking through the crowd and just high-fiving people.
Fans.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
What is happening?
They have like six acts very listed. Like, there were supposed to be like six musical acts. So far, I think only Ludacris has performed.
Griffin, I don't think this trailer is dropping for another hour.
Yeah. Okay, should we just end this episode?
Yeah, I think it's time for us to wrap it up.
Well, but we did good. Now we're at about an hour 40.
Sure. Oh, perfect.
So we're killing it.
And everything that happened in the last 15 minutes was really good.
Yeah.
No, everything you did was great. And then I kept on padding it out by thinking that the trailer was about to just interviewing some fucking guy who looks like me now.
Just rando.
Joe, is there anything? I mean, obviously, this has Oscar buzz. We got to talk about it.
Come listen to our This Had Oscar Buzz podcast, me and Chris File. Every week, we're talking about movies that wanted Oscars. Loving embrace and got its cold shoulder.
I got an episode on the book. Should I say what I'm going to cover?
Yeah, why not?
Fucking Charles Shire 2004 remake of Alfie.
We're going to have a good time with Griffin in the future.
I told people it was going to sweep.
I believe he calls his penis Big Ben in that movie.
I think he does.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's just one of those movies that just a total misread of what it's supposed to be and its star.
Yes. And I fell for it exactly.
Where they like see Jude Law and they're like, they want this guy to be cockier, right?
Right. He's such a rogue.
That's not what we wanted.
No. Jude Law's a nice boy.
She just mispronounced chapter. Okay, well, thank you all for listening. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe. Thanks to producer Rachel Jacobs for editing.
Yes.
She's going to have to bleep out a specific retired bit. Because
she doesn't have to. Jesus, don't make her do it.
Okay, Ben's going to have to bleep out a certain retired bit. Ben's saying no, and he's holding up a chain and threatening me with it.
God, these are the chainiest awards we've ever done.
They truly were off the chain. Thanks to Ange for Gudo for her social media. Thanks to Lane McGovern for our theme song. Joe Bonaparte Rounds for our artwork. And go to blankies.red.com for some real nerdy shit. Next week, we're back into Demi, right?
Next week, I believe, is The Truth About Charlie with David Lowery.
Okay, so get ready for a little truth-telling.
In my head, really fun episode. We already dropped a clip from it on our Philadelphia episode.
Larry's a great example of we never see him outside of when he's on the show with us, and so we end up talking about everything.
Yeah,
because it's our one chance to hang out with him as well.
I interviewed him once. Good guy.
We end it with a segment where we try to predict what the box office will be.
I love it.
The weekend that the episode drops.
Right.
We recorded the episode, I think, 5 months in advance.
I love that.
And I believe two or three of the movies we predict no longer are being released in that.
Out of that weekend.
But get ready for that segment.
Yeah.
And as always, I'm genuinely having a panic attack waiting for this trailer, so I'm ending this episode right now.
All right, fine. Okay. Go to Patreon for Best of Decade.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.